Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Let me read that again. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Come on now. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd bless us as we study a very important, Lord, some very important Bible principles. And Lord, I would ask, dear God, that you'd give each person that's listening discernment and help as they take these principles and implement them into their own personal situation. And Lord, give us some guidance here. Help us. Lord, America is dying for a lack of young men, real biblical young men. Lord, I feel that we ought to call, at times maybe we ought to call and have an obituary written up and have a funeral for masculinity in America. And I would pray, Lord, that you would help us to just, first of all, properly define that, not try to measure up what the world would tell our young men it takes to be a real man, but Lord, that we would look at the scriptures and we would very carefully guide our young men into manhood, into biblical manhood, scriptural manhood, so that they would be prepared to face the things that are ahead for them and they would seek to fulfill the responsibilities. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we begin this study tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The material I'm working on, I've been working on for some time. It's eventually, I know the Lord wants me to put it in some type of a booklet form. I'm trying to provide as much as possible in 2012. Pray for me if you would. I'm trying to put more things in print, more things that will help folks with their young people. I feel a need to do this. I feel pressed to do this. I'll be honest with you, it's 10 times harder to find the time to write now that I'm a senior pastor. It was when I was an assistant pastor. It just is. But I do feel burdened about this, and I feel like there are some things we have to start, keep producing good material that'll help a generation, especially in dealing with teenagers. That's one of the things that I have a passion for, a heart for. And I've completed this study some time ago. I'm now putting it into form. I've preached messages on this subject, of course, just condensed versions, not nearly the material we'll cover in the next three Sunday nights. Well, we'll skip, of course, when Brother Arnold was here, but the next three Sunday nights I'll be preaching. But I preach a message around the country called The Death of Masculinity, The Death of Masculinity. And this message is to help our young men and encourage our young men. I mean that. I'm not have any heart. I don't have any desire to beat up on you and to make you feel bad. That's not the purpose. If you don't measure up to everything that we're going to teach, of course you're not going to. It's a process. These are goals to shoot for. These are things that we ought to bring to the forefront. But the Bible has a lot to say about this matter of young men and tells us some things about what we are to develop and what are to be developed in their life. And so it's important that our young men hear this. Let me say this. It's important that our young ladies hear this. Young ladies, you will hook your star, you'll hook your life to some star one of these days. And wherever that star goes, you're going to have to follow it. And let me just say this, folks. We deal with people. We take them from where they're at. But the average young couple that gets saved in their early 20s or middle 20s or late 20s and comes into the congregation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they've already made many times so many mistakes and messes, and I can't believe how upside down things are in their life and how little masculinity. Now please just extend me some grace here. I'm not saying it's true of everybody. But how little masculinity and the concept of biblical masculinity is being grasped by our 20-somethings. They don't have a clue. I'll be honest with you. I raised three daughters, and it's tough for me to be civil to a young man who wants a young wife to go out and work two jobs while he sits at home and plays video games. I want to just kind of get a hold of the guy. You know, I want to just go out and have a revival meeting out behind a building with him for about 15 minutes. And we just got a messed up mentality of the way things are supposed to be. And the Bible, At the same time, our young people are being presented, our young men are sometimes being presented very poor role models in the matter of this is what a real man is. I mean, some of them are walking around on Sunday morning. You can just tell by the shirts they're wearing. I'm not picking on these kids. Most of them are just caught up in the culture that they live in, and they don't come from Christian homes, but their shirts tell who their heroes are. And it's some of the stuff that's going on, and some of their ideas of what a masculine man is, what real manhood is being defined for them on the TV set, in some of this World Wrestling Federation stuff, and I don't know what they call all of it anymore. I mean, back when I used to watch it was Andre the Giant and Dick the Bruiser. Thank you. But that's when real men used to wrestle, brother. Wow. We've come a long way, baby. Now they put them in there, put them in a cage in their underwear and let them go at it. I don't understand all of it. But I've already lost control. Here we go. But, you know, they are. They're getting warped ideas of what masculinity is just based on Hollywood's portrayal of it. And unfortunately, even professional athletes so many times that, you know, gain a following amongst our young people and yet set a poor example of what a real man is. Manhood isn't defined on what happens on a ball field for 2 or 3 hours, young men. It's defined by what happens in an entire life. And so, one of the things we can do to help us hit some reset button is to just go back to the scriptures and see some things. So this is an important message for our young men, important message for our young ladies. Young ladies, listen to me. Don't settle. Well, I'm lonely and I'm afraid I'm going to end up being an old maid. I'm already 19 and I haven't met anybody, so I better just latch on to any old bum and spend the rest of my life taking care of him. Well, you know something? You're going to regret that. You're going to regret that decision time and time. I mean, for years ahead, you're going to regret that decision. You wait. You be patient. You don't lower your standards. There are still some real biblical young men out there. There's not a ton of them, but there's some out there. And you ought to patiently wait for the right one. But so our parents need to hear this. Not just our young men, our young ladies. The parents need to hear this. Because it's amazing how effective humanism is. It is amazing to me how efficient humanism has been in brainwashing a culture, a society. Don't think it's just out in the world. Humanistic thinking is right here in the church. I hear it. I see it. I wonder at it at times, some of the things that I see and hear. And I guess I'm well-studied enough to know. I don't hold it against people personally. I just realize that they're living where they're in a time frame where they're being bombarded by wrong ideas and wrong standards and wrong principles. And it's just easy to repeat something because it sounds good and not really think it through and realize not only does it not have a Bible basis, but a lot of times it is an anti-Bible comment or saying. And so, grandparents, you're key in this. Let me say this to grandmas and grandpas. You know what? We've lived long enough, we can still reach back and we can visit in our minds in America where we had, for the most part, even amongst lost people, there were some high standards of biblical masculinity expected from even lost people, even unchurched people. And so some of you weren't raised in Christian homes, but you were raised by a father that taught you Christian principles when it came to what being a man was. And so we can reach back. We need to take what we know and we need to hand it off to our grandchildren and help them and encourage them in these areas. And so I've got 20 principles. Don't panic. We're not going to cover them all tonight. But I've got 20 principles that over the course of the next 3 or 4 Sunday nights, if the Lord wills and gives me the chance to preach, that I'm going to, unless he changes my mind, I'm going to just try to get into this and stay with it, and this will take us on into November. The death of masculinity. Let me have you look again at Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 29. The Bible makes a statement, an observation of fact here. The glory of young men is their strength. The beauty of old men is the gray head. When you are a young man, you know what? you are giving, you're endowed with, and you are blessed with, and that is, as you grow, you're going to have given to you physical strength. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. If it's used properly and developed properly and harnessed and disciplined, it's a wonderful thing. The Bible says that as you gain in age, your physical strength will diminish. But the mentioning of the gray head here, of course, is a reference to the wisdom that we should acquire as we grow older. The beauty of old men is the gray head. And so the older man on up in years may not be as strong as he was when he was a young man, but he should be much wiser than he was when he was a young man. And young men, listen to me. We're going to get into this down the road, but let me just bring this observation right at the beginning. The glory of the young man is their strength. The beauty of the old man is the gray head. And it's not a mistake, it's not an accident that these two are mentioned in the same breath in the same verse. It's a wonderful thing when these two join together. It's a wonderful thing when a young man who has strength has enough wisdom to seek counsel and wisdom from an old man who has experience. It's a wonderful thing when an old man who has experience can find a young man who has some strength. When you get those two generations together and they're working together on the same page, some wonderful things happen. And some wonderful things are handed down and secured. What happened, preacher? Well, in the 1960s, many of you lived through that with me and with some of us. And there became a period of time where young people decided that folks that were older than them didn't know anything and couldn't be trusted and shouldn't be listened to, and that the 18, 19, and 20, and 21-year-olds were more knowledgeable and wise and knew more than their grandpas and their grandmothers and their fathers and their mothers. And so rebellion became a glorified thing. It became a glory for a generation to say, I don't want to hear what you know. I don't want to go in the paths that you're trying to set. I want to find a new way, my way. And if you'll see from that generation on, folks, there was a breakage. Some things that had been handed down generationally, and I mean 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 generations, all of a sudden came to a screeching halt. I won't say in the lives of everybody. Thank God that wasn't everybody, but it was a lot of America. And rebellion became glorified, and young men refused to listen, and they had better ideas. And the next thing you know, we ended up in the midst of a sexual revolution. And if you take a look at the world, honestly, folks, I laugh about it a little bit, but if you take an honest look with sane eyes at the 1960s and 70s, you just kind of shake your head. And you got to say, did we just lose our minds? Did America lose its mind? No, the young men started to dismiss the words and the wisdom of the gray-headed men. That's what happened in that time frame. Now, again, that didn't happen to everybody. And in rural America, thank God, a lot of that, I think, bypassed us, not totally, but some of that bypassed us in the rural areas. But the glory of young men is their strength. Now let me give you a couple of things here. Let's get through what we can, and I'll preach to a certain time and cut it off, and then we'll just pick up there when I preach the next message. Number one, young men, how do you develop masculinity? Why has there been a death of masculinity? Number one, young men are to be assigned tasks, or should be assigned tasks, that put to use their physical strength and that develop their patience and endurance. Young men are to be or should be assigned tasks that put to use their physical strength and that develop their patience and endurance. The glory of a young man is their strength. Yes, their strength is their glory, and it's something that is developed and it grows as they grow through their teenage years. But folks, it should be harnessed. It should be put to tasks that are noble. It should be given responsibilities and jobs. It should be tested and honed, not in the weight room, but in the workplace. In the workplace. There's a lot of young men that are walking around with huge biceps and they know all about weightlifting, but if the honest truth is, if you took them out in the field and told them the next 8 hours you're going to be loading, putting up hay after 2 hours, they'd be crying for their mama. And that's where you develop core strength. Body strength is through working. So you should be assigned tasks. Let me just show you some Bible verses. And what I did was, this entire study is based on an examination of what the Bible speaks of when it talks about young men or young man or youth in reference to a young man. In Genesis chapter number 18, turn there if you will. Genesis chapter number 18. I'm just going to have you flip through and look at some of the verses. And it's amazing, more than any other thing that I found concerning young men, this is number one. I put it as number one. It's the thing that the Bible teaches above all things. We make a huge mistake when we do not develop a work ethic in our young men. When their physical strength is not put to an assigned task that will cause them to develop their endurance along with their patience. Proverbs 18, verse number 7. These may seem like simple things, folks. It may seem like non-important comments in the Scriptures, but I believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I don't think there's any filler. I think everything's there for a reason. Genesis 18, 7, and Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a what? And he hastened to dress it. So who did the labor? Who did the bloody work? Who did the hard work? Who dressed it? Did Abraham do it? Who did it? So he said, he caught it. This is the one I want. Boy, come here. Take this thing out and get it ready. It wasn't the elder that was doing the physical work. Genesis chapter 22. Go on, if you will, and look at verse number 3. Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now folks, let me point out some things in verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning and he saddled, the Bible says, his ass or his donkey. Now folks, he didn't saddle that to put wood on it. If he was going to put wood on it, he wouldn't have put a saddle on it. What was the donkey for? To carry the wood? Who was it for? It's to carry Abraham. Are you old guys liking this? Amen, you know. Amen. That's how he was going to get there. Okay, now notice this. And Isaac, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went to the place which the Lord had told him. Now, they clave enough wood to carry to build a burnt offering, a place of sacrifice. How many of you ever fetched firewood before? Okay, I want you to think about that. All right, remember how you go out to the pile and you get firewood? I'm looking for people. All right, look. All right, come on now. Think about it, man. I'm talking about the strength of your youth. How much of that are you carrying? Well, think about it. Well, you get some oak wood, you get some heavy wood, you get some good firewood, you put about 8-10 pieces in your hand, you know you got something. If you're a young guy, you know, when you're with another young guy, you kind of watch. If he's got 11, you got to try to put 12. If he's got 12, you got to put 13. And, you know, then here they are. And you know what the young men were doing? While the old man was on the donkey riding. Okay. Young men, listen to me. Get this in your heads. The glory of a young man is his strength. Shame on you if you're in the vicinity of some work being done and an elder man is doing the work and you're standing there with your hands in your pocket. We get done with an activity out here and we got chairs and tables to move. It shouldn't be senior saints. It shouldn't be older men toting and carrying. It should be a bunch of young men that hustle up and get in there and get the job done. Don't worry about it, Brother Charles. We got it. You go ahead. Don't worry about it, Brother Townsley. You got it. Now, good luck trying to keep these men from helping, but that's what your hearts ought to be willing to say. We got a generation of young men that they see a task, if they see work being done, they're trying to look to hide somewhere. They're looking at where they can exit stage left. Look at getting out of work instead of just standing up and doing work. I'm going to tell you something. I've got a philosophy of life. I tend to hone it in the years ahead. But if I'm on this property and a young man's on this property and there's something to carry, I know who's going to carry it. And it isn't going to be me. Now, I tote and haul and carry and do a lot of things around here when there's nobody here. But you know what? I'm not just saying that because I can't do it. I'm saying that because that young man needs to learn to do it. He needs to learn to do it. You talk to some of the men in this church that are self-employed and are looking for help. If I have, I'm going to tell you something, hardly a day goes by, not a day, but a week goes by in my life where I don't have somebody contact me. Some young guy that's out of work wants a job. And by the way, I know it's tough, the economy's tough and all of that. I get it. But the truth is, and you, some of you men can testify to it, I can find them a job, but I can't show up and help them keep the job. They got to get up in the morning. They got to get out of bed. They got to show up. And you're working by a 40 or 50-year-old guy, and he's doing twice the work, physical labor you're doing. There's something wrong with you. Well, there needs to be something inside of you that says, you know what, one of the things that God's given me, I don't have a lot as a young man. Maybe I don't have the gray hair. Maybe I don't have the wisdom. Maybe I don't have the knowledge. But you know what? God's given me strength. And if I team up with an older man and I gain some wisdom and knowledge from him, and I work and I'm allowed, and I allow myself to be mentored and taught and trained, and I listen, and I put my back to the task, it's amazing what a couple, three young men can accomplish in a day. It really is. It's an amazing what God's made us to be able to do. What's happening to our nation, you want to, and I'm aggravated about it too. I think it's a horrible thing that I see plants closing in America and jobs being moved to Mexico and other places. But at the same time, I understand the frustration of company owners and factory owners who would like to find some men that would actually show up and work. They want to make $25 an hour, but they only want to work 4 hours out of eight. You have to hire, one man told me that owns a business, you have to hire one supervisor for every three employees nowadays. Well, that's a travesty. And you know what? We don't have anybody to blame but ourselves. Those people aren't in business. They're not running that factory just to provide you a job. Welcome to capitalism 101. They open that plant to make some money. You're supposed to be making them money. If you're not making them money, they're going to close the doors and you're not going to have a job. Okay? And it is sad. It's ridiculous what we're seeing in today's society. Now, young men, what I'm telling you is I can't control what's going out there in the culture, but I'm going to challenge you to be different in this regard. You young men around here, you ought to be looking for opportunities. You see a lady carrying something, man, run over there and say, "Ma'am, please let me carry that box for you. Please let me carry those chairs for you." Don't do that. You see men jumping up and getting involved in something, man, jump up there, get in there, scramble, get involved, let me help. That's developing something very important in your life. Yes, you have strength, and God's going to give you strength as you grow. Now, you can do two things with it. You can put it to work and develop a servant's heart and look for opportunities to help, or you can stand in front of the mirror and do this all the time. Okay? Which is a little bit of a scary thought, too. You notice this, that he not only had the young men in this story, we may not get past this point, and this point is worth a night. It's worth a night. It really is. He not only had these young men carry the wood, and folks, they didn't just walk 100 yards. They took a journey here. But when they got there, in verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the young lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Now, you've got to understand, this was a time where they were not carrying something, but he immediately saw to it that they were given important responsibility. I mean, that's like leaving your car somewhere. This was an area, if you look and do the geographical study of this, I mean, folks, there were nations, there were bandits, there were people. A donkey left by itself unguarded was not going to be there very long. So these young men, and if you look at Abraham, it's an interesting study. We won't get to all of it. I may be into this study by February. I don't know. But Abraham, he trained his young men. He trained them. He trained them in weaponry. When Lot was taken, you remember that story? Sodom and Gomorrah was invaded and fought against, and Lot and some others were kidnapped and taken. You know what? He got the young men of his household who were trained and armed. And Abraham went back with the young men from his household and went and fought against those and recovered all of the things that were lost and saved his nephew. And so these young men now aren't just, all right, good, we got a break here. You know, I mean, they weren't involved, but you know what? They had to guard that donkey. And that means, watch this, that means if somebody came along and decided they were going to take that donkey, it was their responsibility to see to it that they didn't take that donkey. And if saying please didn't work, then you did whatever you had to do to see to it that when Abraham got back, the donkey was there. Okay? We don't ask questions. We don't ask what happened. We don't care where you buried the body. I want that donkey there when I come back. You see, this was the responsibility of young men. Young men. Abraham took two young men with him. They carried the wood for the burnt offering. This put to use their natural developing physical strength. Later, they were assigned the task of guarding Abraham's donkey, a mundane but important job that developed their patience as well as their endurance. It kept them, it taught them to work on their protective skills. And they stood up as men and guarded. And when he got back, guess what? The donkey was there. Exodus chapter 24. Let's go over there. You see these types of things taught over and over again. Exodus chapter 24. Where is masculinity? Where is masculinity? I'm telling you, folks, I'm grieved. I'm watching young men effeminate. I'm watching young men that almost rejoice in how sissy they can be. How delicate they can be. Always got an excuse why they can't do this and can't do that. What happened to that young man? Just says, excuse me, get out of my way, let me help. Exodus chapter 24, verse number 4. Moses wrote all these words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning, building an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent what? Young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. These are not peace offerings of lambs. These are peace offerings of what? Oxen. Check it out, by the way. I'm talking about 1,800 to 2,500 pound animals. He says, I built the altar. I've got it prepared. And the reason Abraham did that and they didn't help with that is that was holy work. Some things that Abraham did. But then he turned around and he said, we're going to have multiple sacrifices, and it's going to involve the slaying and the quartering and the preparation of huge animals. Young men, where are you? That's your job. Go. Go. How about, I won't take you there, but Ruth chapter number 2, Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go up from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eye be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? He said also unto me, thou shalt keep fast by the young men until they have ended all the harvest. Hey, was it Boaz out there taking in the harvest? Who was it? And by the way, a little Moabite girl by the name of Ruth. I'd be ashamed of myself. I was a young man, and a girl could outwork me. A girl had more get up and go, more willingness to jump in and help than I did. Young men, this ought to challenge you. It was the young men who were employed to take in the harvest. It was the young men employed to draw the water. It was young men employed out in the fields doing the work. Are you getting this? Let me take you to, some of these out-of-the-way stories, and it seems like 1 Samuel chapter 26 just seems like a brief comment. And the reason I want you to see several of them is because I want you to notice that when God repeats something over and over and over and over and over again, gives us example after example, then what he's saying is this is important. It's important that young men in their youth learn to be assigned tasks, put that physical strength to use, develop their patience, develop their endurance, put them to labor, put them busy. And lazy young men are going to grow up and accomplish nothing. If a young man does not develop a work ethic in the first 18 years of his life, God help him. And God help the poor girl that marries him. Guess what life is? Life is work.
Yes, sir, amen.
It's what it is. It's work. We've had so many young men now in this generation decide that they're going to forego work and try to live off other people's labors that we've just about brought our economy to a standstill. I mean, the amount of work they want to do involves getting off a couch once a month, walking out to a mailbox, and opening an envelope. And by the way, that's not the government's money. That's my money. That's the money of other men in this church that have labored. I don't mind. I'll be first in line to help anybody that can't work. But I detest the idea of helping somebody who won't work. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's what this King James Holy Bible says. Hunger's a great motivator. It's a great motivator. 1 Samuel chapter 26, this is where David spares Saul the second time. He slips in at night. He takes the king's spear. And 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse number 22, they have a conversation across a distance, across the holler, if you will. He hollers over to Saul, and Saul answers back. But notice verse 22, I won't go through the whole story. And David answered and said, "Behold, the king's spear, and let one of the," what?
Young men
come over and fetch it. King Saul that ran down the hill, across the holler, across the creek, up the other hill, and got the sword and ran, or spear, and ran back with it. Hey, send me one of those young men. Let me show you something. It's a little, I don't know, a little odd again. Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. Very unusual story. The story of Ananias and Sapphira. You know the story. We won't teach it all, but I want to again show you where young men played a part in this. Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. Okay, then the story goes on and tells about his wife coming in, about the space of 3 hours, after which his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answering unto them, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that which have buried thy husband are at the door." And by the way, those feet were young men's feet. "And shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at her feet and yielded up the ghost. And the who? Young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. By the way, you think about that process. You ever carried the dead weight? I'm talking about dead weight of a human being. You ever tried to carry that? There's weight and then there's dead weight. Who wound them up? Young men did. Who carried them and hoisted them up? Young men did. Who carried them all the way out to the edge of town, outside of town, to the cemetery? Young men did. Who got shovels and picks and broke into that hard ground, that hard ground of the Middle East, that dry heart? Who chiseled out a burial place? Was it the elders? Was it the apostles? Who was it?
Young
the young men. The young men, what I'm telling you is this. I want you to get a hold of something here. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you, your mamas work harder than you do, and that's a shame. Some of you got sisters that work harder than you do, and that's a shame. Some of you work harder trying to get out of work than you do finding work. That's a shame. You're not going to grow. You're not going to develop. You're not going to become a young man. Masculinity has died because we've decided that we're going to start babying our young men. Years ago, and you wouldn't know who it was. I wouldn't tell the story if I thought any of you had a clue who it was. Years ago, during the time frame that I was principal of the Christian school here, at the end of the week, we have jobs assigned to our students. See, we got this crazy philosophy that it shouldn't be up to somebody else to come in at the end of the week and clean up after them. They should clean up after themselves. So we'd take the last hour, hour and a half of the day on a Friday. I could save the public school here a bunch of money. They could fire all the janitors. No, I'm serious. They would hire, don't hire all the janitors. You got a bunch of able men, high school boys, a couple hundred of them walking around there, and they can't take an hour spread out over that building in 45 minutes, have that thing up to snuff. What's going on here? No, we got to hire people to follow around and clean up after our young men. Baloney. So we assign jobs. Our lady, young ladies have some jobs. Our young men have some jobs. You know what their job is? Get that thing up to spec. Okay. By the way, somebody shouldn't have to come to your area of the auditorium and clean up after you. I am shocked when I walk through this auditorium after a Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, and look around at the paper on the floor, hymnals laying on the floor and on the seat that should be put up, faced in the proper direction. Somebody shouldn't have to spend their life following Jerry Ross around, fixing everything that I messed up and didn't put back the way it was when I showed up there. You guys go back to the bathroom back there and you do your business and you wash your hands. There shouldn't be water and soap all over the place. There shouldn't be paper towels laying on the ground. That bathroom area ought to be in better shape when you leave it than when you showed up. Are you getting this? And so what I'm saying is, so we had jobs assigned. I had a dad come to me, and he said, you know, it's the comment he made. He said, I pay money to have our kids come and be educated here at the Christian school, and I pay them to get the academics here, but you know what? That's what I want them to come to school and do. I don't want them involved in some of these extra jobs that you're pulling them out of the classroom to do. And my answer to that was, take them out of the school. I didn't hesitate. I said, take them out of the school. That's not changing. You see, far more important than math, sorry, far more important than physical science, can I get an amen? The most important thing we can do for the young men and young ladies around here is teach them to have a servant's heart. Amen. Oh, well, Brother Jerry, one of my boys come home the other day and told me that they'd spend an hour in the back of a pickup truck going between the church and the fellowship hall, toting all the chairs out of the Sunday school classrooms. Is that what we're sending them to school to learn? Yep. Yep. Amen. If I hear you complaining about it, I may just have them do it for no reason. Back and forth and back and forth. Back and forth. Back and forth. They'll think they're in the army. They're going to join the army to get a break from Blessed Hope Baptist School. I mean it. I'm going to tell you something. When you look at this and you begin to study it all through the scriptures, and I skipped over several places, you know what you see? You see young men being called upon. You know why? Because the glory of the young man is your strength. The one thing that you have, young man, that you can use and put to work is the fact that God has created you with a muscular system that is designed to do work. And you know what? You can do it, and you need to do it. You need to do it. Young men are to be assigned. Mamas, are you listening to me? Stop keeping them home on the work days. Stop hiding them. I said a comment, said something about it today about some of our teenagers. And by the way, I can say the same thing. Some of our teenage boys are always here. Are always here on you. I can tell you which ones will be here, and I can tell you which ones you can just about bet money won't be here. Shame. They have a chance to partner on a Saturday, and we don't have tons of work days. If you count the number of them we have in a year's time, I'll tell you, it's a good testimony in this community. Brother Tony Rash, right up here, when we have a work day, I'm up there a lot, and we got a ticket, and 50 people go up there and buy stuff and sign up on it, and afterwards I see, you know, like new lawnmowers. I don't even know where they... Somebody went and got a weed eater, and... I'm just glad he don't sell new cars up there. Some of you be... I don't know, but they sign on there and they run up there. I'm kidding. We run up there and get the stuff we need. He told me one day, he stopped me and said, Pastor, let me just compliment you on something. He teases me a lot, and I tease him. He's a great guy, by the way. Tony's been a great help to us. I mean that. You know, it's nice to have an old-fashioned hardware store in the community. It really is. You know, not Lowell's where you walk in, you got them some kid that's a sophomore at IU, and they got him working in the plumbing department, and he thinks PVC is some code on the computer or something like that, you know. And, I mean, it's a mess. But he told me, he said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you, when Blessed Hope has a work day, he said, I drive by there sometimes, and he said, you know, we have a work day, and I'm not picking at his church. I'm telling you what he said. He said, we have a work day at our church. Some things need to be done. We'll have two or three older men show up. He said, you have a work day, and you got 50, 60, 70 people out there busy like a bunch of ants. And you know what, folks? It is a good testimony. And one of the reasons that that's true, and by the way, it will die with this generation if we don't start putting these boys into the yoke. It's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth and just teach him. You know what? We don't sit at home. If there's work to be done, we're in the middle of it. You know, every spring we have a sign-up list. We don't pay somebody to come in here and mow the yard. Preacher, there's a lot of yard around here. Well, there's a lot of people around here. Look around. I'm talking about some of you that's dodged it for the last two or three years. You just don't show up that meeting, won't get your name on there because, heaven forbid, being asked once every 6 weeks to show up. Well, I might have to push the ditch. Yeah, you might. Give me a break. But the problem is, it's not just that some of the older ones that are dodging, some of you that could. Some of you are letting your teenage boys dodge it. And you know what's going to happen? A generation from now, we're going to call a work day and there'll be three old guys show up. Now some of this has got to be passed down. Some of this has to be required. It's time for us to begin to make sure and to guard and make sure that, listen, folks, I know this isn't exciting, and this maybe doesn't seem to you like deep theological study of the Bible, but this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the life and death of the church. Do you know there can be no men of God if there's no men? The word men comes before of God. Someone asked me here a while back, why do you think there's so few young men surrendered to the ministry? Because God won't call anybody but a man. And the pool's getting smaller and smaller. Okay? And so we come up and we preach messages like this. And folks, you think this is tough? Ask these kids how chapel go. No, really. You know what? We're going to keep that chapel platform hot. We're going to keep hitting the... We are purposed. We have a plan. I do not beat the air. I'm not running around in circles. I'm not clueless as to what we're trying to accomplish. And we're going to keep hitting these things and keep hitting these things. But folks, we can teach it at the school and we can teach it at the church. But the honest truth is, if it's not followed through in the home, we might as well be just spitting in the wind because nothing's going to come of it. Okay? So some daddy's got to get this. Some mama's got to say, you know what, son? I've made your bed for the last time. I've cleaned up your room for the last time. We watched Julia and Laura last night. And you know what Julia did before she left? She went around and got all of her toys and put them in the toy box. And then she looked at me and said, I pick up my toys. How old is she? 2? She's more advanced than some of our teenage boys around here. They still can't pick up their toys. Some of these guys are getting a little nervous down here, man. What do you mean your mama's taking the trash out? Where are you? What do you mean you're coming home from school and watching mom out there with a push mower? What are you doing? What do you mean mom and dad have to hire someone to come mow your grass? Are you a retard? But I'd take that money out of your hide. I mean it. Good night. And I'm going to tell you something. I sometimes get on the moms, but I'm going to tell you something. I had an old-fashioned mama that did not believe that it was in the will of God for boys to sit around and do nothing. Amen. Amen. Get them working. Get them working. Get them working. One of the things that have happened, and I'm going to stop with this one point tonight, but one of the things that have happened when we experienced the urbanization of our country is everybody decided to move to town and urbanize, and move to the suburbs, and most of the tasks that were assigned to the young ladies in the home didn't change just because they changed locations. They still had most of those tasks. But the young men who developed their work ethic out there in the rural portions of our country, putting up hay and putting out gardens and doing task farm work, agricultural type responsibilities. Those jobs went by the wayside. Now, I don't care if you live in town or in the country, but I have said this publicly and I'll say it again, and I understand you can't control everything in life, but I would move heaven and earth to get my children out of town into the country where you can have some things for them to do and assign them some chores and give them some responsibilities and let those boys grow up working. Okay, plant 100 tomato plants. You say, why? Just to watch them weed. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I mean, are you getting this? Just put them to work. It's good for them. It's good for them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. And there's so much more we could say, and maybe we ought to say, but that's where we need to stop tonight. We'll pick up, Lord willing. Help us, dear Lord. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he said to the disciples, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. And it's amazing that Jesus was talking about a spiritual thing there. The lack of work ethic. And the fact that we're dropping the ball on this thing, not teaching our young men and our young ladies to work, not only has affected their ability to succeed in the workplace, but Lord, it has brought with it a mentality into the church house. What Jesus said we would need to evangelize the world is laborers. Men and young ladies who have been raised to roll up their sleeves and get at it. The work of the ministry is the work of the ministry. That's what it is. It's work. It's labor. Soul winning is work. Bus ministry is work. Discipleship is work. Running effective ministries that reach out, it's work. Christian school, it's work. And Lord, if we raise a generation that won't work, then we're going to raise a generation that allows the Church of Jesus Christ to diminish, become a shadow of what it once was. So I pray that you'd help us in this area, Lord, as we go through the scriptures, and time again we see that wise older men, probably not because they couldn't do it, but because they were wise enough to know that the young men needed to do it, they would employ their services. They would insist upon them being involved, assign them tasks that would challenge the glory of the young men, their strength. Because of this, they were raised, Lord, to labor. They thought it was a normal thing, a right thing. Thought everybody did that. Thought it was a way of life. Lord, it wasn't that many generations ago that the same mentality was here in the United States of America. Lord, help our country to see a revival. And we always often think of that as a spiritual thing. But I think work is spiritual. Lord, you talk about it. Help us to just get back to some of the basics that we need to teach. Please, Lord, we pray